Good morning. Hear the word of the Lord from chapter 2 of the book of Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to them, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" The word of God for the people of God.
We're going to continue our study through Mark, and though we're supposed to be in Mark chapter 3, we have to start in chapter 2 to get the whole of what is happening. We need to look back, and when we start, we're looking at Sabbath and the controversy that Jesus had with the Pharisees about the Sabbath. Sabbath is that day of rest. It's one of the Ten Commandments that God gave from the mountain. God repeated it from the tent of meeting multiple times in different ways. The Sabbath, the commandments from the mountain, most scholars believe, are commandments for everyone. The commandments given from the tent of meeting were the tabernacle, were the place where God was setting up his covenant with the children of Israel. And that covenant has a lot of good in it, things that we can learn from. We're not bound by those regulations. We see that in the New Testament. But when we look at Sabbath, Sabbath is one of those interesting things because we have a misunderstanding what Sabbath should be. Now, Sabbath was designed originally as a day of rest, that God said you are supposed to stop. It was a design to show the children of Israel to where they had come from. Remember that they had been slaves and now they were free. They didn't have to work all the time. It was also there to keep them from becoming like Egypt and demanding that everybody who worked for them worked all the time. It was also meant to keep them holy, separate. Because if in a world where they believe, and we still believe today, if you're not doing something, you're wasting time. If you take one day a week and don't do anything, people look at you as you're weird. And so it definitely set them apart. It meant that they were different. The law provided for not just the people, but also God told them that they were supposed to give the land a rest in Leviticus chapter 25. But they never did. They never took that time to give the land rest. And so we see in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse number 2, Chronicles 36, 21, and in Daniel chapter 9, God saying that they were going to spend time in exile, away from the land, so the land could get its Sabbath. Now, there were some exceptions for Sabbath. The exceptions were if there was a war going on. If somebody's trying to kill you, God said, you can defend yourself. It's okay. There was also the exception made for the priests, because the priests were supposed to give sacrifice every day, including the Sabbath day. Or someone who was on a mission for God, they could continue doing what was right or what God had called them to do on the Sabbath. Those are important to note, especially when we come to what's going to happen in Jesus and with Jesus. After they came back from from exile, the children of Israel started to fall away and started falling into their old habits of not keeping Sabbath. But through the preachings of the prophets, the people came back and started following the Sabbath better. And the priest and the Pharisees of the time came up this list of rules called the Melakot. These were 39 rules designed to keep somebody from breaking the Sabbath on accident. You could think of them as like guardrails. Have any of you ever been to Yellowstone National Park? Beautiful place. And they have these paths that you walk through and see the different geysers. The paths and the guardrails are there to keep you safe. Technically, there are some places you can step off the path and be okay. But the places between that look okay and the places where all of a sudden you fall into boiling water, you can't tell the difference. So they say, stay on the path and you'll be safe. And so the Pharisees said, we'll come up these rules and they'll be like guidelines, and that way nobody can break the Sabbath. You know, sort of like a speed limit, which everybody keeps, right? But what the problem we see in Mark chapter 2 is that they come and they see Jesus' followers. They are hungry. And so they reach down and they grab some grain, just break it up with their hand, and they're eating it. Now, the law of the Old Testament said if someone was hungry, you could go by someone's field and take some of that. It was okay. You weren't supposed to take more than you than to satisfy your hunger at the time. But you could do that. The Malachot said that you were not supposed to do any type of harvesting so you could that you would take and sell. And he said no harvesting was allowed with a tool. Well, guess what? This is not a tool. This was not something. Now, I know some people say, well, it kind of is a tool. Not according to the way they translated it and the way they would have called it. But the problem was they weren't looking for the truth. They were looking for a way to accuse someone. I don't know about you, but if you've got somebody who's on you to find a reason to accuse you of something, they will go to any extreme, twist the truth into a pretzel if they have to try to make you guilty. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. They're saying, you're harvesting. Well, in the broadest sense of the word, but that's not what even your own law says. Not to mention the kingdom of God and God's law. But they were looking at it. So Jesus comes out and he tells them. He says, don't you remember the story of David? 1 Samuel chapter 20, we have this story of David fleeing from Saul. He was on, in a sense, a mission from God because he was to be the king and Saul wanted to kill him. And David and his men were fleeing and they had nothing. So Saul was after him. David went to the priest and said, do you have anything for me and my men? He said, we have the bread here that was only supposed to be for the priests. But you are on a mission from God. You have a purpose. Therefore, we're going to give you this bread to supply the need, to supply for those who are hungry. Saul didn't find that very well. He didn't like that idea. And there was a man there called Doeg, the Edomite. He saw what was happening. And there's going to be some parallels here in a few minutes, but we're going to get to that in a sec. He says, don't you realize, just as this was taking place, that these laws were set up, they were laws also to provide for those who were truly in need, who were truly hungry. And then Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Which was Jesus trying to point out to the Pharisees, the Sabbath is a gift. And by the way, I think today, the Sabbath is still a gift from God. Everything I've read, all the studies I've heard, says if we actually take a day off and really take a day off regularly, that our health will be better, our minds will be better, and some of us, that needs, we need a lot of that. our families, our finances will even be better if we actually take a Sabbath. But Jesus was also saying, Sabbath wasn't a god. The Sabbath was not something that we have to, all our lives need to be measured by if we're doing this. No, their lives should be measured by what God said, not by their own definitions and their own definition of Sabbath. And then he says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. That phrase, Son of Man, was used in ancient time to refer to, you refer to yourself if you said, I'm just the Son of Man. You were saying, I'm a person of suffering. I'm going through a lot. I know some of you. You're the son or daughter of man. Life is hard. It seems like if something goes wrong, five things go wrong. Somebody said in this time that they were the son of man. They were saying, everything's going wrong. I'm suffering here. I'm a person of suffering. When we get into the book of Daniel, Daniel will equate this man of suffering with the Messiah. And now all of a sudden Jesus is saying, in a very real sense, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the one that brings ultimate rest. In fact, in Christian theology, what we believe truly is that Jesus is our Sabbath. And our day, whether we take one day off a week or we look at all days the same, Paul says, what are we doing if we're doing it to the glory of God? If we're doing it because we're obeying the Lord of the Sabbath, we'll be okay. But the thing is, Jesus should not just be Lord of the Sabbath. He should be the Lord of our lives. But as Jesus is saying these things, he's telling all of this, the Pharisees, of course, are not pleased. They're not happy. But we go on next in Mark chapter 3. He says, another time Jesus went to the synagogue, and a man with shriveled hand was there. And there was some reason looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they're watching him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. And Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around and at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and the hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is where our parallel with what Jesus said about David starts to make out. The Pharisees were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They weren't looking for truth. They weren't looking to help anybody. They were looking for one thing, to get Jesus. Just like Saul. I want to get David. The Pharisees were saying, we want to get Jesus. We're going to get him now. We're going to see if he does something. He heals this man on the Sabbath. Because the Malachite also said that physicians were not to, by the way, listen to this, use their hands to bring healing on the Sabbath. So Jesus can't use his hand to bring healing. But here's a stanza man with a withered hand. Church Father that guy's name is up there that I can't pronounce at this moment. Okay. let's forget it. Of Alexandria said, in the synagogue of the Jews, there was a man with a withered hand. He was the one with the withered hand. If he was withered in hand, the ones who stood by were withered on their minds. The Savior plowed through their minds with words. He first softened them up, in advance, so the words to tame the wilderness of their understanding, asking, is it permitted to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? And you know what I have to agree with? Yeah. Athanasius. Athanasius. Yeah, finally. That the people, the person who was really in trouble there were not the man with the withered hand. It was the Pharisees who had a withered heart and withered minds. And Jesus is asking this question. That is it is it right to do good or evil on the Sabbath? To give life or give death? Now, for us, we think that's an obvious answer, right? If we're following God, we ought to be doing good, not evil. Allowing a man to continue to suffer, to me, sounds bad. The Pharisees, they didn't care. They weren't worried that this man was suffering. Their purpose, their thought, was only that they wanted to catch Jesus. And Jesus gave them this question, and it could have, if they'd allowed it, softened their mind and taken their withered mind and stretched it. But they refused. The answer was obvious. Yes, you should do good. But the moment they said that, they knew they were giving Jesus permission to heal. And they didn't want to give him permission. They wanted to catch him doing wrong. So they're like, well, answer the question, you know? Have you ever dealt with somebody like that? You give them an obvious answer and they refuse to answer because they know there's the only answer they're going to give, the right one, is the one that agrees with you. They're kind of like that child or immature adult who takes the board game, knocks it over, and says, I may have lost, but you didn't win. That's about what they were like. I'm not going to say, because I'm not, no way I'm going to agree with you. And Jesus was angry. He was upset, and rightly so. Jesus was trying to help them. He wanted to bring healing, not to just the withered hand, but to those withered minds, and they refused. Because see, by this time, they had made the Sabbath a god. Yes, God wants me to do good, but I don't care because it breaks the Sabbath. Hold it. Who's God here? Well, for the Pharisees at the time, their God had become obeying this law that they created. And so they refused to answer. They refused to say anything. They wouldn't open their mouths even. The answer was clear. And yet they never said a thing. Athanasius here again says something. He says, Jesus is saying, in a sense, by giving the command, he's going to, I am not touching you, that they may not bring a charge against me. And you know what? Jesus didn't touch the man. He didn't use his hands, which is disobedience according to their law, not the law of God. And he said with his mouth, stretch forth your hand. And so the man stretched his forth. And now here again, Jesus is not breaking the Sabbath law. He's not even breaking their additions to the Sabbath law. He's staying on the path. Not only is Jesus staying on the path, He's doing good on the Sabbath. This is a God thing. And the Pharisees, they have the heart of Saul. He says, we don't care who's right. We don't care that God has ordained this man. We're going to destroy him. We're going to bring him down. And in the story in 1 Samuel chapter 21, Saul comes upon the priest who have brought comfort to David. And when he said, what is going on here? Doeg says, these guys gave him stuff. And Saul in his rage says to his men, kill them. Kill these anointed priests of God. And his men look at Saul and say, no, we're not doing that. These are God's priests. You may be king, but if we're going to tick off somebody, it's going to be you rather than God. And knowing the temperament of Saul, they were taking their lives into their hands. They were seeing Saul go after David, who had done nothing but good for Saul. And now all of a sudden, Saul is calling for the death of the priests. So all of a sudden, Doeg stands up and says, I'll do it. And under Saul's command, the Edomite kills the priests of God, God's anointed ones. And here's the parallel. Now all of a sudden, the Pharisees, who are angry and want to kill God's anointed one, seek help from the Herodians. Here's the interesting thing. Herod is an Edomite. He's from that line of family. Sort of half Jew, kind of related, but not quite totally. And so the Pharisees are living out again what Saul had done. And these were the people who should have known better. And not only are they seeking to destroy Jesus, they're seeking to kill Jesus on the Sabbath. Who's breaking the law here? Talk about the ends justify the means. Yes, he's innocent, but we think he should die. So we're going to break the law to make sure he's convicted. That way we can uphold the law. Does this make sense to anybody? It sure doesn't to me. But how many times do we see people who justify wrong behavior to get what they want because they think it's right? What do we can learn from this? Don't be so intent on your ideas, on your philosophy, that it causes you to disobey God. You say it's for the greater good. If you're disobeying God's law, it's not for a greater good. It's for what you think is the greater good. Also, accept the gift of Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. He came to bring us rest. I don't know what that means in your life, but I do know that God wants to bring us rest. Accept that gift. And let Jesus be Lord of your Sabbath. I'm going to meddle here for a minute. Letting Jesus be Lord of your Sabbath means letting Jesus be Lord of someone else's Sabbath. That means I need to let God deal with someone else how they deal with what they call their Sabbath day. For some people, they feel like their Sunday, they should come to church, they should go home, maybe eat a nice meal and do nothing the rest of the day. And if you go shopping, that's wrong. For others, it's like, I'm resting from my regular meals and regular stuff that I'm doing, going shopping's not a bigger deal. Here's the thing. You've got to decide that. You've got to ask God, what does Sabbath mean to me? What does me taking time of rest should mean? Now for me, I try to take a literal Sabbath, 24 hours where I'm not going out and doing extra work. And I'll be honest, that's God's sort of put that on my heart. I am being horrible at it. Because I am of the same mind as many of you. If you've got time, you ought to be doing something. But I've got to remember, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And if Jesus is telling me, Charles, you need to sit down, be quiet, and not do anything, then the most holy thing I can do is sit down, be quiet, and not do anything. But if God tells someone else something, then if they're following the Lord of the Sabbath, I should not stand in condemnation. But at the end of the day, when we make Jesus our Lord, we make him the Lord of not just that Sabbath day, but every day. And he's come to bring us rest. What we see with the Pharisees is they had their interpretation of how things ought to be. And they were willing to disobey God's law in order to hold on to that idea. Let's not do that when it comes to these things in our lives that are peripheral. Let Jesus be Lord of the Sabbath and of every area of our lives. Dear Father, I ask now that you work in our lives. Be Lord of our Sabbaths, be Lord of our every day, and let us come to you, submitting who we are, every bit of it, to you. I ask now, Lord, let us follow your regulations and your rules, and let us love those who are in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together. And Father, as we leave this place today, I ask that we all trust you and obey what you've called us to do. Bring blessing upon each one as they leave this place today, I ask. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless.